If I were to mention Noah, I think every person here would immediately think of the word ark. We teach our children that one of the first things they learn from the Bible. Who built the ark? Noah. Who led the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses. And we might even, John, put some of these numbers we were talking about into the story of Noah. If I mention two, you would think of him taking two of each kind of animal. If I mention seven, you would think of his taking seven, the animals, clean animals, by seven. If I mentioned eight, you might remember that there were eight souls that were saved in the ark. If I mentioned 30, 50, and 150, you might think of, I believe it was 150, the length and the breadth and the depth of the ark. If I mentioned three, you might think of the three stories. If I mentioned one, the one window. And there are a lot of things about Noah that we remember that are very important. And when we read passages like Romans 15:4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, we think, well, we go back to these stories and we see a lot of these things, and we enjoy telling the stories and we remember them in that sense. But folks, sometimes there are some things about the Old Testament characters that are very deep in meaning and very important in meaning. I want you to notice a verse tonight that you may not have noticed in Genesis 6. If we read Genesis 6, we have all of those numbers that I have mentioned, and we mentioned 150 is 300 cubits long. We have his sons, we have the going into the ark and all of that, but had you ever noticed verse 8 of Genesis 6? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't think that there is a better way to approach the subject of grace and put it into proper perspective than to study this verse about Noah. Grace is one of the most important subjects that can be talked about from the Bible. Are we saved by grace? Yes. Are we saved by grace only? No. There are a lot of people who accuse us in the churches of Christ of not believing in God's grace and not believing that we are saved by God's grace. Nothing could be further from the truth. Usually that accusation will come up when we are talking about the complete plan of salvation that includes being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And someone will say, you are emphasizing baptism and you don't believe that we're saved by the grace of God. I do believe very strongly that we are saved by the grace of God. You and I don't deserve anything we have. We do not deserve salvation. God did not owe salvation to us. And so the very fact tonight that we can come together in an assembly like this and talk about being saved eternally is by the grace of God. But we need to understand what the subject of grace means and how it fits into the overall program. A moment ago I asked the question, are we saved by grace? And I said, yes. Suppose I asked the question, are we saved by faith? I'd say yes. Suppose you ask the question, are we saved by works of obedience? I would say yes. Suppose you ask the question, are we saved by the circumstances involved in salvation? And I'd say yes. And one of the best ways to show that is to go back to Noah. Was Noah saved by faith? Certainly. Was he saved by works? Certainly. And the Bible even says he was saved by water. The circumstances of the time and the situation that was before him. And yet with all of that being said, here in Genesis 6:8, it says that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And here is my main point tonight. If we can understand how Noah was saved by grace, we can understand how we are saved by grace. And I don't think very many people think about the idea that Noah was saved by grace. And yet it states there, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And then he goes into telling him about the ark and how to prepare it for his salvation. Let me share with you three or four other passages of Scripture and then put these into focus in a rather simple form tonight and yet very important form. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now in that passage, faith is emphasized. But let's go over for just a moment to 2 Peter and look at chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Then turn back, if you're following with me, just a page or two to the third chapter of 1 Peter, and look at verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience by God through Jesus Christ. Now, notice what we have read. We have read in the last few minutes that Noah was saved by grace. We've read that he was saved by faith. We've read that he was saved by righteousness or works of obedience. And we've read that he was saved by water. Is there any conflict between any two of those or among all of them? Well, certainly not. If we go to that passage in Hebrews 11, 7, he believed God. Go back to Genesis 6, and in 6:22 and 7:5 it says, thus did Noah according to all that God said. Noah believed God when God told him what was going to happen. And I don't know whether you've ever thought about it or not, but that took a strong faith. Noah, I want you to build an ark. There had never been one built before. There's going to come a flood. A flood? Possibility that it had not rained up until that time. I cannot prove it one way or the other. There is the statement earlier in Genesis that God watered the plants with a dew that went up from our mist that went up from the ground. And I tend to believe that that's the way it had continued until the time of Noah, and that the rain may have been the first rain that had come on the earth. I can't prove that one way or the other. But at least we're sure that there had never been a rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And there had never been a time that the water was going to rise above even the hills and the mountains. And so God says, Noah, I'm going to bring a flood. And you build an ark. And Noah just went about building that ark. Took him a long time to build it. But he built it just like God told him to. He believed that God meant what he said. And he prepared that ark to the saving of his household. Noah was saved by faith. Had you ever tried to put yourself in Noah's shoes and think what the people around him must have been saying to him and about him? You can just almost see some of those folks. Have you all seen that fellow over yonder building an ark? He thinks there's going to be a flood. I can just imagine the kind of ridicule that he must have had. And yet, He just went about doing what God had told him to do, exactly like God had told him to do it. Now, folks, that took faith. You and I talk about faith. I'm not for sure that we really understand, at least by experience, the kind of faith that Abraham had when he said, "Leave your country and go into another one that I'll show thee." Or that he had when he said, "Take your son Isaac up there on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice." I'm not for sure that we understand the kind of faith that Moses had when God sent him down into Egypt and on many occasions during that 40 years of the wilderness wandering. And we could go on and on with others, and these that are mentioned here in Hebrews 11, that they did these things by faith. I wonder sometimes if we really understand what a strong faith means. But I think we can understand it on the part of Noah, because he believed what God had told him concerning what was going to happen. But we can also say tonight that Noah was saved by works. Sometimes today people say, well, works don't have a thing to do with it. There's nothing that you have to do as far as your salvation is concerned. You just believe, and that's all you have to do. What do you think would happen to Noah if he'd taken that approach? If Noah had said, "Now, God, I have faith in you, but now I don't have to do anything." And would you be able to find anybody today that would agree that Noah didn't have to do anything? That God was going to take care of it? If God had wanted to, he could have, couldn't he? If God had wanted simply taken Noah and his family up and held them up above the flood, he could have done that. If he'd wanted to have created an ark just like that, he could have done that. He could have done anything he wanted to. But what he wanted was Noah to build the ark. And that took some effort. And not only did that take some effort, but during the time that he was building the ark, this passage we read here in 2 Peter 2:5 says he was a preacher of righteousness. He evidently was preaching to people and teaching people and trying to get them to listen during the time he was building the ark. And that's always been an encouraging thing to me when I have some times in life that are a bit discouraging. Sometimes we'll think, well, I just keep on preaching and keep on doing this and nobody responds. Think about Noah preaching for all that time, and as far as we know, nobody listened to him. And I'm not positive that even his sons and daughters-in-law were faithful to God, or whether they were saved in the ark because of Noah's faith. There's a question there when you really look at it. They were saved, but it never talks about Mrs. Noah and the three sons and their wives from the standpoint of their faith. It was Noah who had the faith. And you know, to preach that many of years and only have 8 people saved, it must have been discouraging. But Noah believed in God and went about doing what God said, no matter what the results were. He prepared an ark. That took effort. He prepared it by the details. That took knowing what God wanted him to do. And then when he got the ark prepared, he went in. He made the effort to go inside the ark. He didn't just stay outside and say, "God, you save me out here. You've got the power to do it." He went in where God told him to. God told him to get him and his family in the ark and the animals in the ark. And Noah did exactly what God told him to do as far as obedience is concerned. And the Bible says he was saved by the circumstances of the time. That which destroyed everybody else was involved in saving Noah and his family. The water which drowned everyone else held the ark up to save Noah and his family. There was no power in the water for the salvation from the flood, except that it contributed to doing what God had told him to do. And there's a lesson there for us in that. The water of baptism is not involved in salvation, except that it provides that which will allow us to do what God has told us to do. When we're baptized in water, that's the circumstances of the situation that have to be used for us to use our faith and our obedience to God. And the Bible definitely says that Noah and them were saved by water. Peter commanded water to be used in baptism when Cornelius and his were saved. In Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was told that he could be baptized. They stopped. He went down into the water. Those were the circumstances that existed that made it possible. There had to be enough water for there to be baptism. There had to be enough water to support the ark, to cause it to float. Those were the circumstances. And so you can say that the circumstances had something to do with the salvation of Noah. But it was not what saved him. He was saved by grace. Now notice what we have said tonight. I want you to see this point very clearly because it is very important. And I don't know of anything that you could use that's any better if you happen to be talking to some of your friends who believe that we're saved by grace only than this situation with Noah. Was Noah saved by faith? I think anybody would agree that he was. Was he saved by his works of preparation? Certainly he was. If he hadn't prepared the ark, what do you think would have happened? Was he saved by the circumstances, or at least they were involved in his salvation, with the water saying it's saved by water, holding the ark up and saving him? Certainly. And yet, he was saved by grace. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. The same thing is true with us today. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, we don't deserve it, not of works, lest any man should boast, we don't earn it. Notice that's boastful works there. The next verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The very next two verses, after he said, by grace are you saved through faith, he shows there's one kind of works that doesn't save us, those that we would boast about and say we've earned our salvation, but there's another one involved. We are his workmanship, verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus, notice, unto good works, which God has before ordained, and that means commanded, that we should walk in them. Titus 2, beginning at verse 11. The grace of God, notice, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us, what teaches us? The grace of God is the subject there. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then he goes ahead in verse 14 and says that we might be his peculiar people. We might be his followers. We're saved by grace in that grace brings salvation. Everything we are and have is because of the grace of God. But that does not do away with the need for faith. And it does not do away with the need of obedience. And it does not do away with our needing certain circumstances to assist us in obeying God and taking advantage of what he does. Here is a very important statement. Be sure that you get it word for word. The opportunity of salvation is by grace only. The availability of salvation is by grace only. If it were not for the grace of God, we would not have a way of salvation. In that sense, it is only by the grace of God that there is extended to us an opportunity of salvation. But when an offer is made, it's not a gift until it is accepted. Now, keep that in mind. The offer of salvation is entirely by the grace of God, but an offer is not a gift, and that's what we want, the gift of salvation. It's called a gift in many places. Nothing is a gift until it is accepted. I don't care what, if somebody drove a car up out there tonight, a new car, and said, this, I'm willing to give you this because of my grace. You haven't earned it, but I'm willing to give it to you. That's an offer. If I don't go out there and get that car and let it sit there for an eternity, it'll never become a gift. You see, I've got to first believe that that person means it. And I'm not expecting any of you to do that. And I would have some doubts of whether you meant it if you did. But I've got to first believe that that person means that, that it's completely by his grace. I haven't done anything to earn it. He's going to give me a new car. But I've got to get it. And I've got to take it. And I've got to use it and take advantage of it. Or it isn't worth a thing to me. And that's how it is with salvation. The grace of God extends salvation to us completely by his grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But we must believe that God means that. That's our faith. And then we must obey his commandments, just like Noah had to obey his commandments to do everything according to that which God said. And so we are saved by grace. We are saved by faith. And we are saved by works. Grace on God's part, faith on our part, that causes us to do what God has told us to do. And here is what I believe. If we can understand that in Noah's case, don't you think we can understand it today? And if someone that you're talking to that has problems with this, if you can get him to understand it in Noah's case, you should be able to get him to understand it in New Testament circumstances. In fact, there is another rather unusual passage in the New Testament on this subject, and you may not have thought of this, but in Romans 6, we normally quote verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's a pretty good description of one becoming a Christian. One being obedient, being baptized into his death, being raised to walk in newness of life. But have you ever connected that to verse 1? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Isn't it interesting that the subject, the main subject that's introduced here, where he talks about being buried by baptism into death, is the grace of God? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the reasoning was there, if God's grace will forgive us of our sins, then the more sins we commit, the more God's grace can be active. And Paul says, God forbid. No, 1,000 times no. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God's grace was not intended for us to have forgiveness and continue living in sin, is what he's saying. Then he says, know you not, this is what happens. And then we put that old man aside and we have the new man and the resurrection. But he's talking about the grace of God. Just like back with Noah, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Then there's the building of the ark. Here, the grace of God abounds, and then there's the plan of salvation whereby we accept that. If people would lay prejudices aside and look at what the Bible says, it's easy to see that we are saved by the grace of God. We've found favor in the sight of God just like Noah did. But that we have to believe that and act on that just like Noah did. When Noah built the ark, did he remove the fact that he found grace in the sight of God? No, no. He just took advantage of it. When you and I teach faith and repentance and confession and baptism for the remission of sins and the need of living the Christian life, are we removing the... No, no, we're not removing the grace of God. We're just taking advantage of it. And so I submit to you that today we are saved in becoming Christians, just like Noah was saved in the ark. He found grace, we found grace. He believed it, we believe it. And he acted in obedience, and we act in obedience. Exactly the same thing. Wouldn't it have been a shame if Noah had turned down God's offer? Isn't it a shame today when people turn down God's offer? If you're not a Christian tonight, don't turn it down. Take advantage of the grace of God and be obedient to him. By coming as together, we stand and sing.